Is it just me, or did it seem like the deacons were having a little too much fun? You're supposed to be somber and serious. Glory to God. Great is His faithfulness, and the faithfulness of God to us in His Word. As we turn to Psalm 78, one of our theme psalms for this weekend. And I remind you that this is the eternally true, trustworthy, inerrant Word of the living God. He speaks this morning. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Family reunions are important, and special family reunions are especially important. You know, grandma's 80th birthday, or mom and dad's 50th anniversary, or the two Tulsa weddings these last 2 weekends. It's important to mark and to remember special moments where we see God's hand, where we see God's special grace in our lives. It's interesting to me that in the next 8 days, three families in our church are going to celebrate 90th birthdays. Frieda Einfeld, Joyce Hunkoop, and Gert Heisen. That's a big deal, and it ought to be celebrated. Even as I met with Frieda this last week, she didn't want any fuss, any muss, nothing. No. It's important that we celebrate. Last September, you blessed Fema and me with a generous gift of two nights lodging in Le Conner on the occasion of my 40th anniversary of ordination. And we used that gift two weeks ago, to celebrate our 45th wedding anniversary. Two special occasions combined. Special events and milestones that are important. They should be celebrated. And so it is that we're celebrating 125 years as a congregation. Now, what are we celebrating? Are we celebrating turning the page of the calendar 125 times? Or are we celebrating doing what churches do? Are we celebrating all of our great efforts and hard work and ministry over all these years? No. We're celebrating 125 years of God's greatness and God's goodness. 125 years of God's faithfulness, His provision, His kindness. And so we give to Him all the glory, all the praise, all the credit. All of this is His doing. And if He hadn't done this, it wouldn't have happened. We don't sing, "Great is our faithfulness." We sing, "Great is thy faithfulness," morning by morning, day by day, year by year, decade by decade. God is sovereign over time and history. It's all His. He ordains everything that happens and directs the course of all events. So the milestones in our lives are evidence of His greatness and His goodness. They are, as you know I like to say, and have said often, they are cause for worship. Cause for pausing and giving thanks and giving glory to God. This is His church. And it exists primarily for one purpose: to give Him all the glory and the honor and the praise that is due His name. Now, I know there's a fear that I think just about all of us have. It's the fear of starting to forget things.
We've dealt perhaps with parents or grandparents who have gone through that. Some of us are aware that it's creeping in on us. We call them senior moments. We don't like the idea of forgetting. I had an experience of this just last night at the wedding. I forgot someone's name. So annoying. But there's another kind of forgetting that we don't want to do, and it's called spiritual Alzheimer's. And that's especially dangerous, to forget God and His goodness and His grace. And there's an antidote for spiritual Alzheimer's in Psalm 78. Psalm 78 urges us to be a backwards people. A backwards facing, a backwards walking people. To remember the sayings of old. To remember the things we have heard and known. Things our forefathers told us. To remember the glorious deeds and wonders that God has done in the past. So there's a sense in which living in the past is the best way to move toward the future. So, the psalmist tells us that God has given us a testimony. His word, in which is recorded who God is and all that He has done, so that His people can continue to walk in faith and in hope for the future. We have a God who has revealed Himself, and He has written down His will and His words and His ways and what He has done. And this is a gift not only to us, but to our children. So that they might know, that they might have hope and a future, and not be like that generation of men that are spoken of in this psalm just a few verses after what I read, those who forgot God and His works and His commandments and rebelled and were disobedient and unfaithful. We need a sanctified memory, a memory sanctified by knowing and remembering God. What He has done from the beginning of creation and all through salvation history. Now, if you keep reading in Psalm 78, it's a pretty long psalm, and I commend it to you. But if you keep reading, it recounts the Red Sea story. And the Red Sea is the story of all stories in the Old Testament. Out of all of God's deeds and works and wonders, the exodus of the children of God through the Red Sea was the most dramatic act of redemption. It was the most spectacular display of God's glory and His power and His grace and His mercy and His goodness and protection. It was all of that. Now, in the New Testament, we have our own Red Sea story, the most dramatic act of redemption, the most spectacular display of God's glory and power and grace and mercy and provision. It's the event that the Red Sea actually was a shadow of, it pointed to. And of course, this is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, when He divided the waters of sin and death and Satan and hell, when He tore the veil and opened the way for us to be reconciled to God. So when we remember this, and when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ and trust Him by faith for our salvation, this becomes our personal Red Sea. An event that we should remember over and over again and recount and speak of out loud. I've shared my personal Red Sea experience with you in the past, and I would delight to do it again because I love to tell the story of not what I did, but what God did, and give Him the glory. But the grace and the blessings don't end there, as we all know. For the Israelites, they have their countless smaller stories of God's goodness and greatness. The water out of the rock, the manna falling from heaven, enemies defeated, miracles of healing and life. And the same is true for us, that we don't just stop at that one story of the Red Sea experience. No, we have countless stories of God's greatness and goodness. These blessings, these provisions, that become personal for us. They become intimate. Now, Psalm 78 urges parents to pass on their faith. But if you read carefully, it's not just in the words. It's not just in the teaching. It's not just in the commands. Notice verse 7 says, Forget not the works of the Lord. Not just the words of the Lord, but the works of the Lord. Over and over again, in the Psalms and in the Old Testament, part of Israel's worship was recounting the glorious deeds and wonders of God. They told stories that taught who God is and what He is like. Stories that revealed His glory, His greatness, His goodness. Just in our worship this morning, we read in the call to worship of God's mighty deeds. And in the song, One Generation, we sang of His marvelous acts. And in To God Be the Glory, we sang, great things He has done. We have been reflecting on and telling the stories of what God has done in the last 125 years. We have a big map of it there, that tree of generations. Stories that show God's greatness, despite our sin, despite our shortcomings. Now, we ought to do the same in our homes. Telling stories to our children and grandchildren. Telling stories about God answering a particular prayer in a particular way at just the right moment. How God brought you and your spouse together. How God provided the house that you live in. How God directed your path through times when you weren't sure. The career, the work that you do. Guiding in a particular decision and the impact that it made. Even going so far as to tell stories of God convicting you of this particular sin. You know how we prayed for our boys all the time, when they sinned that they would be caught quickly. And it just annoyed them to no end how often God answered that prayer. But we delighted that it was God and it was His glory and His grace, and they would come to see that it was good. And I think now they're thankful. But if parents would tell those kinds of stories to their kids, it would give them some hope. They know they're sinners, and they're covered up sometimes in that shame or the guilt. Let that be a story that, yes, humbles you, but it's a good humbling because it glorifies God and His grace and His goodness. Include your children in prayers for particular needs in your family that are going on right now, and then when God answers, mark it. Remember it. Let it be cause for worship. Boast in God. Every day, look for what God is doing. And then speak of it. And speak of it in ways that cause joy, that cause happiness, that cause gratitude. We heard Friday night about how back in the day things were very somber, very, I believe Mick Vanderbilt's word was severe, in an old Dutch way. Well, there's a lot of great things about our forefathers, but I'm not sure if that's one of them. We need to have, along with our acknowledging of our sin, yes, it's real, but we confess it, and then what? We're assured of God's grace and God's forgiveness, and that's cause for worship, that's cause for joy. Now, Psalm 78 tells us to tell stories to our children so that, in order that, with the end result that, they should set their hope in God, they should not forget the works of God, they should keep His commandments, and they should not be like the forefathers who forgot. Now, let me give you just a brief snippet of the many blessings that I have been written down and given to me. This one from Lisa Quern, who wrote in response to my request for these stories, more of which we'll share this evening, and I hope that you'll come and hear these. But here's what we wrote, and you'll read, those of you who have been around here since 2021 anyway, know the story of how their home was filled with 4 feet of water in Nooksack in the November of 21. The biggest lesson is when our church came, tore apart the house, transported goods, cleaned, washed, stored, unpacked and unpacked, monetary gifts, and on, we really could not have made it through those 5 or 6 months without our church by our side. Thank you seems like too simple a statement. All of this was part of God's providence for our lives. God knows everything and plans everything and makes sure you're ready for everything. He's in charge. He knew we needed you, this church, to be part of our life. Now, do you see the little turn of phrase there, the way she put that? You see what they saw? They saw the providence of God, and they embraced His goodness. I don't know in a very moment, but it caught up to them. And now they testify to it. Lisa told her story in May in a chapel at Christian school. We're not the author of our lives. God is. And that means every aspect of it, every vocation, every situation, every relationship, every triumph, every defeat, every sunny day and dark night, it's all His. So work hard to cultivate a deeper awareness of God's providence and sovereignty in all things. And then tell that story. God doesn't reveal the glory of His providence and His sovereignty for nothing. He means for it to be received and remembered and rejoiced in. He means for us to make something of it. Another way of saying that is He means for us to see it and savor it. We need to kind of hold on to it, appreciate it, ponder it over and over, taste and see how the Lord is good. So let me give some examples of the benefit of doing this and why I'm urging us to do this for ourselves and especially for those around us. Seeing, savoring, and sharing God's providences leads us to a more God-centered life and deeper worship. Everything is cause for worship. Seeing, savoring, and sharing God's providences causes us to see how everything in our lives is part of His design. Everything is from Him and through Him and to Him. Seeing, savoring, and sharing God's providences humbles us that sinners like us have received so much undeserved goodness and greatness. Seeing and savoring and sharing God's providences keeps us from thinking that those things that come into our lives are trivial, no big deal, mundane, unimportant, insignificant. That's not true. This really is God's world, and even the hair falling from our head has spiritual meaning. Seeing and savoring and sharing God's providences helps us to be patient in our greatest trials, knowing that God's purpose and His power and His goodness are there. I've said before that the most beneficial and spiritually rich autobiography that you could ever read, and I commend that you read this one, is the history of your own life. The history of what God has been doing and is doing. You should reread that history over and over again. And you should read that history out loud, especially to your family. And we're going to do that tonight. We're going to read some of those stories out loud. I urge you to come and to be part of this concluding of our anniversary celebration. In the video that we saw Friday night of Nick Vandergoed speaking, some of his last words, he was asked what advice would he have for us in our future. He said three things. Pray. Pray, pray, pray. He said, take care of each other. Be the church. And he said, step up to lead and to serve in the body. Don't just take, but give. Mick did all of that in spades. And to that I would add to the next generation of First Christian Reformed Church, be a lover of God's Word, where in it is everything that you need for the future. Be a worshiper of God, and this will keep you from the idolatry of our age. Love God with all your heart, with all that you have, and love His church. It is the most precious thing to Him. He bought it with the blood of His Son. And this table is for remembering and receiving the greatness and goodness of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. See and savor the greatness and goodness of God. Let us humbly receive these gifts. This is a picture of our Red Sea. That Red Sea that shook our lives and forever changed us. Taste and see. See, savor, and remember. God is good. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Father, take pity on us, because the truth of the matter is,
we are prone to forget. So don't let us do that. Don't let our consciences grow cold and our hearts get hard. Don't let us make shipwreck of our faith on the rocks of this culture. But by your word and spirit, would you guard our hearts and minds and grant to us spiritual wisdom and discernment, and help us to see your hand in our lives and all that you're doing. Protect this, your church, this flock under your care, the precious blood-bought body of Christ, for the sake of Jesus and in His name. Amen.